It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemare.
And today's topic is one of those we don't really want to discuss.
No. And you know what? As long as I've known you, we've never talked about it.
I know.
And I don't think I've really ever talked to anyone about it. And it's the fear of death.
Yeah.
Or the lack of, depending on if you have a fear of death or not. And it's been constantly on my mind lately. And
really?
I don't know why. And it's like, I don't know if it's because of the pandemic we've been in, and I really don't know. I mean, people would probably say it makes sense to link the two. But I've just been, the thing I'm like the most fearful about is really probably strange, because I know what you're going to say, but like, what happens after I die? Like, not like another life, but like the idea of going into the ground, like, makes me feel, because I'm a little claustrophobic, you know? Or the idea of cremation, like, really freaks me out. And I know what you're going to say, but you're dead. You won't know what's going on, right? But my head,
I know,
can't stop thinking about what is going to happen.
Yeah.
And my friend from college, who I also have never, I have never really talked to this about anyone, because I don't want everyone, like, I'm not looking for a diagnosis. I am trying to, like, maybe if I talk about it, then I'll feel better, because I haven't really said anything. But, and she wasn't even kidding when she said this, because she called it and she said, "Are you ready for your podcast? What are you doing today?" I said, "Oh, we're actually doing two subjects." And I brought up the death, and I said about what happens after. And she wasn't joking or anything. She's like, "I know, you know, my biggest fear is like how my makeup will look." You know, and she wasn't even being funny.
That's so funny.
I said, "Even in death, you're still vain." Like, I was like, she goes, "I know it sounds awful, but like, I almost don't even, I just want to be cremated because I don't want anyone looking at me." I said, "Well, wait a second. I think you can still have a open visitation and then you get cremated." She's like, "Really? I don't want that to happen."
You can choose that, or you can just go straight to cremation.
Right. She goes, and I said, "But I also have said, you know, I don't have a plan in place. This isn't written down anywhere. I don't have even a will or an estate thing," which also is a whole nother problem that people will tell me that's a problem. But also, I think because, like, I don't really, I'm the person that you, whenever I meet with, you know, in my career, I meet with estate planning, you know, lawyers and stuff, they always say, because no one wants to think they're going to die. That's one of the main reasons why people don't have a plan.
Yes.
But then, obviously, we all know, like, I was watching a video earlier today, actually, and the guy said, you know, you should never focus on death, because the minute you're born, you are going to die. It's a thing that we all know.
It does happen
to
everybody.
So while it might sound morbid, you have to stop thinking about it. And I likened it to the fact, when I'm trying to talk myself off the ledge here lately, because it has really been on my mind a lot in the last few months. In fact, like, I wrote some, like, letters to my family, and my brother wrote me a text saying, "Thanks for the letter, but it feels like someone's going to die. Like, you wrote it like someone's going to die." So I don't even know why and I'm sure he was probably kind of joking, but I don't know why I did that. But I kind of liken it to when I was pregnant, and then, you know, I started to kind of really freak out about the actual delivering of the child. And I had to get my head around, guess what? The child has to come out.
Yes. I mean, yes.
There's no two ways around this. It's going to happen. And you just have to go with that. And I can't prevent death. I can't prevent what's going to happen. But
okay,
I don't know if this will help you afterwards. Yes.
But this is how I got through, because I was the same way.
Okay.
Worrying about labor. My whole mantra was, I can do anything for a day.
Yeah.
I can do anything for a day. It's not going to take longer than a day.
Yes.
I can do anything for a day.
Right.
So that's what got me. I don't know if that's the same for death.
No, I don't think so, because I'm going to be doing it forever.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like I said to her when she said she was worried about her makeup, I said, well, I was less worried about the makeup. I didn't want people, like, looking at me. I just think, like, how I've been thinking a lot lately is just, like, it just seems so odd that after you die, you know, people come and, like, they look at your body. You know what I mean? I know people say they want to say goodbye and all this. I'm almost more like, put me in a casket with just like a picture. And of course, I have the exact picture. It's from like 10 years ago that I would like them to use, no matter if I'm 90 when it happens or not. But like, I just don't know if I like people passing by and looking at me.
Well, that is a choice you can make.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you can, like, I want to be cremated.
Okay.
Because I don't like the idea of graveyards taking up so much space.
Mm-hmm.
Although I say that, and then a couple of weeks ago, the day after Memorial Day, because, you know, Memorial Day, you're remembering people who have passed,
yes.
most who served in the armed services. But I remember when I was a kid, every Memorial Day, my grandmother would take me to her mother's grave.
Yes. Yep.
And so on Memorial Day this year, we didn't go on the day, but the next day I said to my son, hey, we should go see grandma's grave,
mm-hmm.
his grandmother's grave, my mother-in-law. And he and my husband and I went, and it was just a nice time. And we talked about her and we told stories, and then we looked at other people's names, and, you know, and she was getting a new neighbor, and we're like, oh, hope she likes her.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, you know, so we had a place to go visit and talk about her. So I'm like, oh, if I get cremated, am I denying people that?
Right.
Like, it made me start second guessing that decision.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I also don't want anyone to feel like
obligated.
Obligated.
Yes.
I don't want anyone to feel obligated.
See, so
that would be worse for me.
So being like, yeah. Okay. So my mom died, and it's weird because people say she's not really there. Her soul, you know, left.
Yes.
And I kind of got to the point where I really hated going there, because just going there was like just, you knew it was a very like emotional, sad time. And then when you got there, I really didn't know what to do. Like, I would say a few words, but then I felt guilty. Like, if I'm only staying 3 minutes, is that bad? You know, all these thoughts would go through my head.
Oh yeah.
One day I went there and I just sat down. It was a nice day. And I just sat there for a while. And that like kind of made me feel the best of all the years that have gone by that I did that. But I know what you're saying about the obligated part. Cause so now if like, her birthday or Mother's Day at the beginning, as the years, you know, I felt like I needed to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But then it turned to guilt. Like, do I really need to like go there to, I'm thinking about her clearly.
Yes.
I'm remembering things. I'm doing all the same things I would there. And she's not really there. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's funny you say that, because, you know, you don't want to say that out loud, but obviously I just did.
But we do need to say this out loud though, because it is like, why would we put, do you think your mother would want you to feel guilty about, especially when you are busy and your kids were, you know, younger and were doing stuff. Do you think she would have wanted you to feel guilty for not going if she knew you were thinking about her?
Here's the thing too, about when people die. So this is why I should really write everything out. I have realized over the years that when someone dies, everything you want to happen is what the dead person would want for you.
Yeah.
So like, let's say you had cruise tickets for a cruise to go on, and it was actually the day of my funeral.
Uh-huh.
People would say, you know what? Lynn would want you to go on the cruise. So everything that you want to work out, it's like,
yeah.
Lynn would not want you to feel obligated to come. Lynn would want you to go. And I'm like, listen, I want everyone to cancel their vacation plans, because if I'm not going anywhere, you're all staying here for my funeral too. But no, I of course would not want that obligation on anybody.
Exactly.
But yes, I always feel like, you know, I'm putting the person who's deceased, I'm making their thoughts all just happily work out the way I would want them to.
Well, no, but I wasn't, like, I knew your mother.
Yes.
But I wasn't her daughter.
Right.
So I think I'm able to take a step back and look at it and go, no, she loved you. She wouldn't want you to feel guilt about going there.
And I can't decide even now if I, like, when you bring up the cremation.
Yeah.
So it was nice at the beginning to have a place to go.
Right.
Okay. That you still feel connected to. But then, so if you do get cremated, you obviously, you could be with them all the time in the
urn.
Urn. Thank you, Remy. All the words that were coming to mind were sound so bad.
Yeah.
the urn.
Mini steel casket yes. that sits on the fireplace.
Thank you. I was like, what? Somebody save me. Or, you know, people spread it in the places you love. And then when they go back there, they feel, you know, a sense of you. And but again, I'm just like, oh, cremation sounds so like I just see the picture in my head and putting and I just I can't stand it. And I know in my head I'm dead. I'm not going to know anything that's going on. But thinking about it while I'm alive is kind of driving me nuts a little bit.
Oh, this is how I look at it. I will be at my lowest weight ever mm-hmm. after being cremated.
Oh, well, that's
it's the ultimate diet.
There you go.
It's the cremation diet.
Yes.
I think it really depends. It's really something that you need to talk about with your loved ones because it's up to them.
I know.
Would you rather go visit me at a graveyard or would you rather I'm in an urn or would you rather scatter my ashes someplace that would remind you of me? What is it to you? Here's the other thing. When you die, you don't feel guilt anymore. I don't believe. Mm-hmm. I don't think you feel any guilt after you die. Mm-hmm. So why should we feel so guilty while we're still here? It's a human form mm-hmm. emotion. And mm-hmm. once you've, whatever you believe in, once you pass on to the other realm, whatever that is, I don't think there's any guilt.
We were just having this discussion for some reason at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've been thinking, I think when you, around birthdays, once you pass a certain age, it's like, wait, I'm how old?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And that, brings the death conversation.
Yes.
It's like thoughts, which I don't like. That's what I get uncomfortable about. But for some reason, a couple
of weeks. Is what, the age? Or what do you
mean? The age. And then that is, like, it didn't used to be that way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You still had half your life to live.
Yes.
And now it's like, do I?
Yes.
Am I also going to be in the Guinness Book of World Records? I don't think so.
Right. So, so we were having this conversation and my husband was saying he wanted to be cremated and that had surprised me because he didn't want that originally in our marriage. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh yeah. So we were talking about, you know, scattering ashes and I can't even remember where he said, maybe Maui, cause we do like it there
mm-hmm.
and maybe somewhere else. And I said, well, he's like, well, what about you? And I'm like, you want yours in Paris so you could always be in Paris. And I'm like, well, yeah, I would like part of me to always be in mm-hmm. Paris. I love that idea. And you guys will get a trip. I said, but I want you all, like I said, I want, to me, it's, I don't want them to have a place where they're forced to go visit me because you can find excuses for that or you move away and you can't get back. But if I'm in an urn, you have to take me.
Yeah.
Like, you will know I'm with you.
Right.
Like, I'm just like, I just want you to know I'm always there.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't. You are not escaping me.
I mean, they could mount your head on the wall and then just move that around with them.
Right?
And then you'd always be watching over them, too. Mm-hmm. Creepy.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Because I thought about and Remy, hopefully you can help me again, the above ground.
Mm-hmm.
What's that one?
Mausoleum.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We should be on a death game show.
We
are like killing
ding, ding.
It
really
on this
should.
Thing.
Yes.
So literally, I'm like, I think that sounds the best to me right now.
Okay.
Like, I'm above the ground mm-hmm. and I'm not like cremated, and so right now,
well, there's always the in loving memory park bench or brick. Those are always cool too. You know,
that
you could do all
true.
Kinds of nice little memorial things like that. Like, oh, we donated a brick to a library. So whenever we go to this local library, we think of you and we see your brick there. The little park bench is cute too.
That is true.
I love those little ideas. I'm not a big one for going to cemeteries. Mm-hmm. Some of my family is. And so I have been to cemeteries to visit grave sites. It's not that I don't enjoy it. It's fine and it's nice. And I think about the person and stuff like that. I don't make the trips. I've got friends that go to see, you know, I'm going to the funeral or I'm going to the cemetery today. Anybody want to come? I'm like,
Well, the other weird thing is, I always have found like peace walking through cemeteries.
Yeah.
It's very strange to me that I'm having this problem because I'm like, where I used to live, there was a great cemetery, beautiful. And I would walk through, and like you said, when you went to visit, you'd look at all the other names.
Mm-hmm.
I do that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I start to like, see a young person die.
Oh,
like, oh
see,
no,
I can't.
How did the young person die? And then, you know, you see like in this particular cemetery I'm talking about, there was like a family that all died like around on the same date, but it was like 100 years ago.
Accident so, or yeah, fire. Or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So you go, wow, what happened there? So it's like weird in my mind that like I find it somewhat relaxing, which I don't know why. And I, you know, and I've always had this weird obsession with death in general. Years ago, it became kind of like a weird thing I was doing. I was looking through the obituaries. And people that I felt were on the younger side, I would then Google them and come to find out.
I remember
out,
when you yes, did that.
And so
that was
it
a
turned.
Phase.
Yes, it was. And I started to, one time I was telling a story and it came out and I just said, I Google dead people. And then everyone just started, first of all, thought I was kidding and then made this big thing about it. And I had a coworker who kept catching me do it. And one time I said, no, you don't even understand this woman. And I told her what she did for a living and, you know, how she died and how tragic it was. And without missing a beat and totally serious, she goes, are you going to be able to make it to the funeral? And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I don't actually know her, but I felt like I did. And I became so obsessed with it. I like literally had to stop myself from looking at these obituaries and Googling it because they were terrible stories. And now on the internet, you can find out anything.
Oh, yeah.
And so for some reason, I've always had this weird, like, obsession with death. When someone, like, surprisingly, like, young dies, like there was a young girl who just died over the weekend that in a car accident. My son like knew her, mm-hmm. but not well, but they go to college together. And as soon as he called to tell me, it's like, I was looking up everything. How did it happen? Why? You know, what's her, I mean, it was just like, I get obsessed with this.
Well, I think
and I don't
that's
know why.
Partly a natural reaction because I think a lot of us do that. You want to find out what happened. So you cannot do it. So, mm-hmm. so you can have it not happen to you.
Yes.
Or so you can warn your children, don't drive on the freeway at night when it's raining. You know what I mean?
I did tell them something based on the accident that I know very little about, but just, you know, told them, you know, like you, Remy had talked, I think, when we were not on there about like being a proactive driver.
Yes. Learning.
Like I'm big into that, telling him to always, oh, yeah. like someone could cross the lane right now. What are you going to do? So I do have those conversations a lot with them. But in actually there was two sudden deaths over the last week that I know someone who knows someone.
Yeah.
Both very young people. But the thing that really overwhelmed me was the like how fate had to play a part in this. Like everything had to happen completely right, especially in this one incident.
Or completely wrong.
Yes. Well, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like all these little steps that led to exactly this woman, this other woman being at the exact point at the exact time to have this happen is just like mind boggling. Like if I don't know her. Her kids go to the same school my kids went to in elementary. So that's how yeah. I found out about it. But it's just like all these things, like you know, like I'm almost living like proactive on everything I do. You know what I mean? I'm watching everything so much. Because of this weird thing that's taken more of a presence in my mind in the last few months than it had been earlier. Like, while yeah. I've always been obsessed with reading about how other people died or what happened, now it's becoming this thing about, you know, me and, you know, dying and then what's going to happen afterwards and all this kind of stuff. And I just don't even know how to get it out of my head.
I know. And that's what I started researching because I don't like thinking about it. And I've never been good around dead bodies, like mm-hmm. even pets that I've had to put down.
Mm-hmm.
The minute they're gone, I can't touch them.
Yeah,
anymore.
I know exactly what you mean.
I just can't.
Yes.
And I mean, and I grew up basically on a farm.
Yes.
So there were always dead animals. And I've just always been like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will, if something happens, I will get caught up in, you know, anxious thoughts mm-hmm. and circle there for a while on something. And so I was looking up, like, how do you stop yourself from thinking about it?
Yeah.
And it's like you have to, like, force yourself to think about something else, mm-hmm. basically.
Well, like you said, you had that mantra, I can do anything for one day.
Yeah.
So that gave me an idea. Like, I probably need to set some tool up in my brain when it starts
yes.
thinking about that to go somewhere else, because having something to me that's like inevitable
mm-hmm.
also overwhelms me a little bit.
I know. I don't
sense.
Like that part of it
okay.
either.
Okay.
Yes. I don't like that part of it either, that I have no control
right.
over it. It is going to happen.
Yes.
No matter what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when.
Right. And
I love the, on that one, I love the movie Big Fish, where like the kids, did you ever see Big Fish?
The
young kids,
though.
The young kids go into the witch's house and she pulls out her glass eye and shows them how they're going to die.
Oh.
And so it's like, if you're brave enough, you'll look into the glass eye and you get to see how you die. And the kid's point is, well, that's, I want to know, because that way I won't be scared of anything else in my entire life. Cause I'll know exactly
yes.
how I'm going to die. And like, what a great philosophy.
Right. Like go ahead and skydive then.
Exactly. Cause mm-hmm. I'm just not going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kind of got to live your life that way.
Wow, that's deep.
I expected to be dead by now. When I was young, all growing up, I never thought I would live past the age of 30
really?
Or so. So I'm like, well, I'm on borrowed time. So, you know, everything's groovy.
Did people die when... Did someone die?
No, I just always had that kind of like, you know, call it a fantasy or whatever of just mm-hmm. like, you know, live fast, die young, make a good looking corpse mm-hmm. kind of thing. You know, I figured that I would, you know, James Dean it or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
something like that. And it hasn't happened. And so I'm just like, all right, well, the way I look at it is I'm on borrowed time, so I'm not scared of it.
Really?
Yeah, not at all. Not even the least little bit. I rarely think about like how I'm going to die or when I'm going to die or when it's like, it's going to happen to us all. And so
yes.
I didn't used to be, and I don't know. It's just lately. I
mm-hmm.
think, I don't know. I can't explain it. And like the other day, my husband and I were sitting out in the sun, and we were at the pool, and he turns to me and he goes, "We're gonna be great grandparents." I'm like, "Why would you say that? Like, we're nowhere anywhere close to being." Grandparents
mm-hmm.
in our life right now. I'm like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
Like, grandparents are old and why?
And yeah.
He goes, well, because we just are. And I'm like, not for a very long
time. Yeah.
But
a decade.
It's got me started thinking about things
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, stop. But he's also, I have to tell this very funny story. For my 40th birthday, I asked him to set up an estate and trust. So we
yeah.
did that. And at the time, our children were small. So we had to name somebody who would raise our children if something happened to the both of us. And at the same time, it just so happened my parents had their house up for sale.
Okay.
So we're sitting there working this out. Like, what about my sister? Well, she lives on the other side of the state. And do we want, you know, if something happens to the both of us, that means then our children are being uprooted and moved. Like, no. Like, I want somebody who will come stay with them in their house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these were the kind of talks we were having. And my husband said, well, your parents' house is for sale. So by the time, you know, by the time they sell it, they could move in here. And I'm like, we're not going to die next year.
Like, yeah.
Like, I'm saying, what if? And he was like making definite plans.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they'll be out of escrow and
yeah.
ready to move in. And I'm like, you're killing me.
Yeah.
Stop talking like mm-hmm. this.
And that's probably actually, as I'm hearing you talk, it's probably actually a good idea just to get it done because then it's not on your mind anymore.
Oh, yeah, I did
because,
it and forgot about it.
Yes. See, I should do that because it's still like, it just is like a cloud over my head.
Oh, yeah, no, once you do it, you can't. You can totally forget about it. You know everything's taken care of. You know where everything's going.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's doing what.
Yes.
And yeah, it was the best thing we ever did. It was the best birthday gift I ever asked for.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Peace of mind is basically
yes.
what you got.
It was all taken care of.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to worry about it anymore.
So I got to get some, you know, like I said, a new
mantra
or tool or something that I go to because this is really getting like it's like a daily thing. And I just don't know where I've gone off the rails of just being, I hate to use the word fascinated, but intrigued by death, whatever, to now like less about the death. Like
yeah.
when, you know, just said less, you know, worrying about how you are gonna die. It's not even like that.
Are you more worried though about your family continuing on after you're gone?
No.
No. Because that would be.
But I do like Remy's suggestion of asking them what they would prefer.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
because
a good idea.
Why not ask them? You know, and then maybe that would help me, and I could just like. Decide on what I'm going to do. And then that's done as well. As
exactly.
far as that goes.
No, that is a good idea.
And as far as the funeral goes with like not seeing the body, to me, that is a huge part of my closure with dealing with a death and accepting a death is going and seeing the body.
Really?
To me, that is. I will touch their hands, you know, maybe like give a little kiss on my hand and touch their forehead kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I do like to touch them one last time. That it helps me grieve.
No, that's
and people grieve in different ways and everybody's got their own thing. So it's like, that's the kind of thing. It's important. Like, would you rather just a nice picture of me or do you want like an open casket to see me one last time?
No,
like,
that's good. Ask them.
It's up to them.
Or we make a video and make everyone watch it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've already thought of that.
I've got the music picked out and everything.
I got it on a loop. It's less of a, it's kind of, video, but also definitely audio. Like, I've got lots of things to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We want to hear what your plans are and what you think we should do. You can find all our social media on our website, StacyandLynnPodcast.com. It's not just you on Facebook. And Stacy and Lynn Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. We'd love to hear from you, hear your suggestions, hear what your plans are. And thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.